All right, hey, well, we're gonna look at Psalm 119 real quick, and I'm just gonna give you a really, I think, a very important and very good lesson. Does anybody in here know how to play the piano? When you were like 4? Like you can play the piano pretty well? You can play the piano pretty good? Okay. How old are you? 13? Okay. Anybody here not play the piano at all? You cannot play the piano at all? Okay, good. All right, just checking. All right. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So be ready. I might have you play something for just a second. Okay? Just something small. Nothing big. Like Beethoven's Fifth. That's all. Nothing really complicated. Some Tchaikovsky or something. All right, look at Psalm 119. You know, one of the big problems that we face, all of us have, and every one of you guys have this problem, that is with controlling our mind and controlling our thoughts. And sometimes when we talk about this, whenever I come to a session where I talk about our thought life, most of the time we start thinking like, oh, we're going to talk about how not to have bad thoughts or lustful thoughts. Well, that's a big part of it. But there's other bad thinking. There's negative thinking. There's thinking that is thinking of anxious thinking, fearful thinking. People have in their minds, we have things that we think that are not the way God wants us to think. And because of that, our lives become what we think. You are whatever you think. Remember that verse? How many of you remember the verse? Maybe you can quote it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so... All right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that you are what you think. And the devil would rather you think something wrong than he would to get you to do something wrong. Because if he can get you to think wrong, you'll automatically do wrong. Everybody understand that? There's an old proverb that says this. It's not a Bible proverb. It's like an old, I don't know, maybe a Chinese proverb. I don't know what proverb it is. But it says, if you sow a thought, you will reap a deed. If you sow a deed, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. And if you sow a character, you reap a destiny. So in other words, whatever you think is what you're going to become. And so when we talk about this, we're going to talk about how to control our mind. And I want you to understand something about your mind. Your mind is not your brain. Okay? Your mind is not your brain. Your brain is an organ in your body. It's what we call the gray matter. It's got all those folds and all the neurons and all that kind of stuff. Your brain is not your mind. This is why I was going to have somebody play the piano for us. Okay, what's your name? Kinsley, do you want to just play something real quick? Like literally like 30 seconds. Just go to the piano real fast. Go to those stairs right over there. And just play something really fast. Let's hear it for Kinsley. Now, how many of you do not play the piano? Okay, good. Come here for just a second. All right. Just go stand up there behind Kinsley and watch what she does. And then go ahead, Kinsley. Go ahead and play for something right here. That's pretty. What song is that? You don't know? Huh? Myself. Well, I like that. He's strong. I like it. I'm not on my own. Connor, can you sing it? Okay, so, all right, Kinsey, hang on. So now, Connor, play that. No, literally, do your very best to try to play what she just played. Okay, go ahead. Just try it. Try your best. Yeah, get the bench right. That's always what it is. It's the bench. Got to get the bench in the right place. Oh, yeah, that's definitely the right key. Yeah, it's the right key. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, let's give it up. All right, so here's what we have. Here, both of you stand right here for a second. Stand right here for a second. So here's what I want you to understand. When we talk about our thought life, our brain is the piano. It's the instrument. It's the organ that we use to do our processing of our thoughts. The brain is the piano. It's the instrument. But the mind is the pianist. The mind is what is in control of your thoughts. So let me ask you a question. Which mind do you want? All right. Do you want a mind that has order and it has harmony and syncopation and all the proper, or do you want just like, right? Okay. Okay. Hey, let's give them a big hand. So here's what I want to ask you. Somebody wants to play your mind. Now, why is this important? Now, think about this for just a minute. I want you to think about this. God destroyed this planet one time. And he destroyed the whole world by a what? By a flood. God destroyed the world. How many people were saved in that time? How many people were saved? Eight. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Mrs. Ham, Shem, Mrs. Shem, Japheth, Mrs. Japheth. So eight people were saved in that ark, right? Now watch this. Why did God destroy the world? Genesis chapter 6 tells us, in Genesis 6, listen to what it says, Genesis 6, 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, now watch, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The thoughts of their heart. Now, what is that? So the Bible uses three words, and you need to remember this. The Bible uses three words to describe the same part of you. Three words that describe the same part of who you are. Number one, he uses the word mind. Number two, he uses the word soul. And number three, he uses the word heart. Those are all descriptions of the inner man, the inner self. The mind, the heart, and the soul. Why does God use those three words, the heart, the mind, the soul? Because the heart, the mind, the soul, that's the part of you where your emotions are, it's where your will is, and it's where your intellect is. So in the heart of man, your heart, your mind, your soul is the pianist that is in charge of what's being played in your brain. So that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have a choice of whose mind you're going to live in. God destroyed the world because of man's evil thought life. Their thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 3 says this, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness or craziness, insanity is in their heart while they live, and after that they go into the end. Listen, there's one thing that's common in every one of you. You have a deceitful heart, you have a wicked heart, and you have a heart that is going to think madness. It's going to think insanity. I mean, you know, people, by the way, the reason why this lesson is so vitally important, number one, is because all of us have a thought life. All of us are going to be the sum total of how we think. And why it's important is because the world has lost its ever-loving mind. We have a massive issue of mental illness in our country. We just had We just had, they're at the Olympics right now, and there was a female boxer from Italy that had to forfeit her fight because she had to fight against a biological male who is pretending to be a woman, and he hit her so hard in the face. She said, I've never been hit that hard. It broke her nose, and she had to forfeit the fight. Here she tried to, she's trained all these years, went to the Olympics in hopes that she could win a medal for her dad who just died. She was fighting in her dad's honor, but she had to fight against a guy who everybody has to pretend is a girl. Now, what's happened? There's madness in men's hearts. There's madness and insanity in the hearts of this world. The world, people are crazy. And you're a people. And I'm a people, which means I'm crazy. If I live in my mind, I'm going to think bad thoughts. Not just lustful thoughts. I'll have those too. But I'm going to think thoughts that are not healthy, thoughts that are filled with things like they're opposite of the way God designed, and I'm going to be thinking wrong. And if I don't think right, I'm not going to live right, and life isn't going to go right. The Bible says this. The Bible says, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You need to guard your thought life, guard your inner man. Why? Because out of that is how the flow of your life. The flow of your life is going to go from your thought life. And let's look at the Bible. I'm going to show you something really quick. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Underline those two little words, his way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? There is something here that needs to be pointed out. This word way right here. How shall a young man cleanse his way? That word way is the Hebrew word which means pathway or track. It has the idea of a groove or a rut. How many of you have ever been walking through the woods and you were walking on a trail that was kind of grooved out through the woods? There's everything else is growing, but there's this track and you can follow that path through the woods, okay? Listen. In our brains, neurologists call them neurological pathways. When you think thoughts, your brain is grooved. By the way, young men, there are studies that show what happens to a young man's brain, physical brain, how his brain is deformed through viewing of pornography. What it does to actually deteriorate and to deform the folds of your brain. You have neurological pathways that happen in your brain. Now, this is what the connotation of this text is. If a man thinks and that charts the course that he takes, then the path that he takes in his life, the track that he follows in his life, comes from his thought life. So the Bible says, guard your thought life, because that's going to be the course of your actual life. How you think is what you'll be. Everybody understand that? So I grew up in a home. We didn't have television when I grew up in a home. My dad got saved out of a really rough life. So when they got saved, man, they didn't want to have a TV in our house. I never grew up watching television. So I grew up in this house where we read a lot, we played games. It was just a kind of an all-American family, right? I had my brothers. We were out in the neighborhood. We were playing baseball, basketball, football. We were riding bikes. We were jumping bikes. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but my dad bought us these old Huffy bikes that had these big banana seats on them, you know? And we were not the cool kids because we didn't have the best bike in town was called a Diamondback Mongoose. If you could get a Diamondback Mongoose, that was an incredible bike. But we couldn't afford it. But the kid across the street got one. His name was Jamie. Jamie was being raised by a single mom. Jamie would be out playing. His mom would call him, Jamie, and he wouldn't come. And Jamie, and he wouldn't come. She'd be like, Jamie, Juan, don't you let me get the three, Jamie, Juan. And Jamie, he wouldn't come. Two, Jamie, two and a quarter. And I'm a little kid thinking, just get the three and beat the fire out of that kid, man. He needs to have a spanking. One day he came home and he had a brand new Diamondback Mongoose. Him and his mom we're putting it together and getting the seat and the handlebars adjusted and all that. Well, we lived on a big hill, and at the bottom of the hill, some neighbors had just put some rocks in, and they had a load of rocks they were going to put into their yard, and so they had this big pile of rocks in front of their house. So my brothers and I, we found this big piece of plywood, and we put that plywood on that pile of rocks, and we were taking our Huffies, flying down, and we were ramping that thing, man. We were catching some serious air. And so Jamie was up there riding his bike, and we're like, Jamie, man, you got a Diamondback Mongoose. That's the number one bike in the country. You need to go jump this. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. And so he was really scared. So we kind of pressured him and teased him until finally he said, all right, I'll do it. So Jamie goes booking down the hill. And when Jamie gets to the bottom of that hill, my brother told him, when you jump, make sure you pull the front tire up so you land on the back wheel. So Jamie comes off of the ramp, and he is going like way too fast. And when he launches, first of all, the first thing I noticed when he launched is that he didn't have shoes on. He was just in his little tube socks and, you know, those spiky pedals, you know what I'm talking about? So he's on those little pedals, and those pedals are just like spinning in the air like that. And he goes to pull up on the front. Well, his mom had helped him put the bike together, and they didn't tighten the gooseneck down. So the handlebars came off, and the little front wheel's just down there spinning in front of him, right? So when Jamie came down, boom, first thing he did was he just impaled his feet to the pedals, like, gah! And then the handlebar came down and hit the front wheel and snapped both of his arms, pow, like literally broke his arms. Jamie crashes, he gets up and he's like, woo! And his arms are flopping. He runs up to his house, woo! With his little bloody footprints going behind him. And he gets to the house and he's trying to knock on the door. He's like, and he's trying to get his mom. And so his mom got him in the station wagon and drove him to the hospital. And he came back like 6 hours later, and he had a full chest cast with these little prop rods on his little arm. And I'm like, Jamie, how long are you going to be like that? He's like, oh, 6 weeks. Can I borrow your bike? But so I kind of grew up in like this all-American house. Like, it was just fun. When I got my first job, I went to work at this construction company, and my job was to help just be a gopher. I was going to get stuff and carry lumber and all that stuff. And I worked at this construction company. And let me tell you something. I could not believe this. All the guys on that construction company, no matter what we were talking about, no matter what was being said, those guys could make it dirty. Everything was a dirty joke. Everything was an innuendo. Everything was, and I'll tell you why. And what I had to learn was this. Those guys had a one-track mind. That's what the Bible says here. They had grooved themselves, or they had a way that everything that came into their mind went through that track, and that was what was coming out in their life. So what God was saying here was this. How does a young man, how do you cleanse that way? So how can you take the track of your life and not let it come from a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked, and a heart that has madness in it, and a heart that's always going to think thoughts that are opposite of God? How do you clean that? So here, I'm going to ask the Lord to put a couple of words in your heart. We're going to study this in this lesson today. Number one, I want you to write the word purification. All right, write down that word, purification. All right, so number one, if you're going to have a clean mind, if you're going to control your thoughts, number one, you need purification. Everybody say that with me. You need purification. Notice what it says, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, we talked about this a little bit in the first session, when I told you that there's only two ways that we can get clean. And number one is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And number two is through the Word of God. Listen, if you're going to be clean, you need to be born again. You have to be clean through the blood of Christ. You need to be born again. You need to come to Jesus Christ for salvation and let Him wash away your sins. And you need to have a new heart. Create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. When God goes to save a man, when God saves you, listen to this carefully. When God saves you, let me tell you what He does. He starts with your mind. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God transforms you by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, when you got saved, you got a new mind. Now, you have to be very careful that you don't live a double-minded life where you still have your mind and the mind of Christ, where you know what you should do, but you have also what you want to do, and you think your thoughts. This is very common. Christians, we get saved, and then we begin to think our own thoughts and live our own way, and we begin to do our own thing. Listen, God says, no, I want to cleanse your mind and purify your mind so that your mind is the mind of Christ. That's why it's important for you, number one, to be saved, but number two, to saturate your life with the Word of God. You need to be clean in the Word of God. And so he said, the first thing that you're going to need is your mind to be purified. Now, I want to tell you something, young people. Listen, the devil's after your mind. How many of you are saved and you know it? You're saved and you know it, okay? So let me just tell you something right now. You have a new mind in you. You can choose every day which mind you live in. But Satan is really interested in your mind. You know why? Romans chapter 7, verse 25, Paul said, "For with the mind, I myself serve the law of God." You serve the law of God in your mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Okay, did you hear what he said? Satan will use any means possible to corrupt your minds from the simplicity or the single focus on Christ. So Satan is after your mind to corrupt your mind. So you have to have a clean mind and keep that mind purified. It takes purification. Now let me tell you this. Several years ago, I had a swimming pool. At our house, we had a 16 by 32 foot swimming pool, 8 feet, diving board. It was great. And I had been preaching out all summer, and so I hadn't really had a lot of time at home with my family. And Labor Day was coming. And so I was looking forward to Labor Day because I was going to get up that morning. I was going to put some ribs on the smoker, and we were going to just swim. Me and the girls, my girls were all little. We were just going to swim. I was going to smoke some ribs. We're going to have some ribs. I had all my Labor Day planned. And my wife came to me one day the week before, and she goes, "Hey, do you know what Monday is, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's Labor Day." She's like, "Yeah, you know what that means, right?" I'm like, "Yes, ribs, swimming pool, sleeping in. It's going to be awesome." She goes, "No. It's Labor Day." I'm like, "Yeah, ribs, swimming pool, sleeping in." She goes, "No, it's not rest day. It's Labor Day." I'm like, I don't think you understand what Labor Day even means. I don't even think you even know what it means. It means ribs and swimming pool and a day to sleep in. You're thinking that it means that we have to work?" And she says, "Have you seen our garage?" I'm like, "No. I don't ever want to see the garage." See, what happened was, is that garage, we started putting stuff in the garage. And like, I started putting stuff in the garage, and then like Christmas came, and I took all the stuff down, and I just kind of stuck it in the garage. Then Valentine's Day came, and we decorated, and I took all that stuff and put it in there. And then like, you know, stuff started happening. And before long, I would just kind of open the door, stick stuff in, and close the door. And then like, I didn't even know what's in the garage. Nobody could use the garage. We couldn't even see the garage. I didn't even care. I just wanted to burn the garage. And my wife said, "We're cleaning the garage." I said, "But I'm smoking ribs and swimming pool and sleeping in." She goes, "No, we're going to clean the garage." And so here's what we did on Labor Day. We went out and we opened the door, and my wife stood in the driveway. And my wife is not a bossy lady, but she was just done with the garage. And here's what she said. She said, "Okay, go in there and just grab something." I'm like, "What?" She said, "Anything. Just grab it and bring it out here." So I went in the garage. I grabbed something. I bring it to her, and she'd say, "Okay, set that over there." Then I go in and get something. She'd say, "Okay, set that over there. Okay, set that over here." She had three piles. She had three piles. At the end of the day, we had a pile of stuff that we were going to throw away. It's just junk. We're taking it to the dump. Then we had a pile of stuff that we were going to either sell or give away. And then we had a pile of all the stuff that we wanted to keep. I took three loads of stuff to the dump that day. We started calling people, hey, come get some stuff. We had bags of clothes for kids. We had all kinds of stuff that we weren't ever going to use. People were coming to get it. We just put stuff up for sale. We're kind of like a little yard sale right there in the day. People were stopping by and buying stuff. And then at the end of the day, we cleaned that whole garage out. I took all the stuff that we had, we labeled it, and I put it back on the shelves. I'm going to tell you something. Once we were done, I didn't want to leave the garage. I actually had ribs smoking that day. We ate the ribs in the garage. Like, we just put chairs on me. I'm like, look at this. This is awesome. I mean, I could come home. I could drive my car in the garage. It was amazing. Now, let me tell you something. Your minds, every one of your minds, are in the same boat. We get so much junk in our minds. Our minds get so crowded and cluttered. We scroll. We watch TV, we're watching Netflix, we're just filling our minds with all kinds of stuff, and we're not taking time to purify and to clean. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to throw open your mind and say, Lord, in my mind is a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be thrown away. I need to be forgiven, it needs to be cleansed, it needs to be out of my mind. And listen to me, the moment you confess it, He'll cleanse it. Young people, listen, you also got a bunch of stuff in your mind that you need to be giving away. Some of you know enough, you could be teaching class, you could be helping in a ministry at your church, you could be sharing the gospel, you could start a Bible club at your school. There's a ton of stuff that you could do that you know that you could give away, but you can't get to it because your mind is so cluttered with all the junk. But if you would let God purify your mind, you would have all this stuff to throw away and get it out of your mind. You'd have all this stuff to give away. And then you have all kinds of stuff you need to keep. There's stuff that you need to know. There's been camps and conferences and Bible studies and lessons and things that God has taught you that you have in there, but you can't ever access it because your mind is so cluttered and you don't have control in your mind. And there's stuff that you need to know. You need to keep that, label it, mark it, get it up there where you can grab it when you need it. And you can use that. Use this stuff to give away. Get rid of that stuff. Listen, if you'll go to the Lord tonight and you'll just say, Lord, cleanse me, cleanse my mind, you can have a pure white mind tonight. And He can help you start getting your thoughts in order. All right, so number one, it takes purification. Say that. It takes, okay. Number two, very quickly, look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, here's what happens. This guy gets purified. There's purification. He gets the mind clean. And now he says, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, let me tell you what this is. If you're going to have control of your mind, you need purification. You got to have some time to confess some things with God and get it clean. Once you get your mind clean before God, now, I wish there was an easy way. I wish there was a cheap way to control your mind. But number two, you need determination. Everybody say that with me. Ready? You need. All right, so number one is purification. Number two is determination. He says, oh, let me not wander. Okay, Lord, now that you've cleansed my heart, now that you've cleansed my mind, now that I got my mind fixed on you, Lord, don't let me wander to anything else. With my whole heart. Hey, how many of you guys, or even young ladies, how many of you play sports? Okay, what do you play? Volleyball. Listen, my girls all played volleyball. I was quarterback in high school. I played basketball in high school. I'm so competitive. And there's just one thing that drives me crazy. If I had a teammate that just didn't have heart, like I don't care if you can even play the game. Just want to win. Be determined. We had a kid on our football team. His name was Marky. Marky was the most uncoordinated guy, but he was as big as a house. And I told him, I said, Marky, listen, I need a guy on the front line in our football. I need a guy that can just stand in front of other people and not let me get my face knocked off. Just block people. If all you got to do is when I say ready, set, hold on. When I give cadence, you just take that guy and block him all the way over to the sideline and call his mom names. Do whatever you have to do, but just move that guy out of the way. If you could give me some guys, but I'll tell you something, Marky was not coordinated, but dude, that guy had heart. and he'd get in the huddle. He'd be banging himself in the head, and he's hitting his helmet. He'd grab his own face mask, and he would scream like that. Marky was a guy that when he would get in the huddle, he always had a saying. He's like, "Hey, if you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly." And he was like slobber, and like he was just like, and he was a wild man. Sometimes I had to even tell him, like, "Marky, you're blocking the wrong guy, but you're doing it with your whole heart, and that's awesome. That's that kid's on your team, but you're really into it." There's one thing that drives me crazy is someone who doesn't have heart. Listen to me. You got to have determination. You give me somebody that says, "We're getting this point. We're making this serve, and we're getting this point. We're doing this. We're not going to..." And you talk about diving on the floor. You're doing whatever you got to do to get the right sets, the right passes, the right hits. I mean, listen, we got to win this thing. You got to be determined. Too many people are just so quick to quit when things get hard. My dad had a little sign in our room as boys, and it said, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." And I'll never forget that. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Listen, when life gets hard, you don't just lay down, you get up. Now watch. "Now, Lord, you've cleansed my mind. Now, Lord, I'm determined to keep it clean. I'm not going to wander from your commandments. Don't let me wander with my whole heart." Young people, listen, the Bible says you cannot come to God with half of a heart. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Listen to me. You cannot win with a double-minded heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek for him with all thy heart and all thy soul." Listen, you got to get all of it in you. How badly do you want to know the Lord? How badly do you want to keep your mind right? You got to, listen, whatever it takes. If it means that I can't have this phone for a while and I've got to fast from this or delete my social media or whatever it is, if I got to get rid of that friend, whatever it is, Lord, you've cleansed my mind. I've got to keep it clean. I can't listen to that music anymore. I can't read this. I can't go there. Lord, I've got to get up every day and I've got to be determined to keep this thing clean. Determination. Now, it's interesting, where I live in Colorado, and I want to say this, because we're going to show a picture in just a second, but before they put the picture up, I got to give all the guys a warning in here. What's going to come up on the screen is so cute that you're going to instantly just be like, "Oh," and guys, don't do that, because you're going to be embarrassed, like, just like, you know, just kind of grunt, like, "Ugh, I bet that tastes like chicken." I just don't want to embarrass all the guys. Maintain your man card for a second. But here's a little animal that's in Colorado, and I want to show it to you right now. Do we have that picture ready? Isn't that thing? Listen, that thing, does anybody know what that's called? It's not a ferret. It's actually called an ermine. And what I like about it is that ermine is in the word determine. And let me tell you why they're called an ermine. This is what an ermine is. Listen. They live up in the snow. And those things are just like, it's like they're in Florida in the snow. They love it. They're happy. They love the snow. They're cute. They're like 2.5 feet long. They're super fun. Like I've been out skiing or been out hunting, and I'll have an ermine just kind of like hop in the snow and just like look at me and talk to me. And if you'll talk to them, they'll come. They're just nice. They'll come to you. They're just cute. But now watch this. They have this coat that is incredible. Number one, it's pure white. So all they have to do to hide in the snow is just close their eyes and cover their nose, and you'd never see them. Their coat has an oil on it that's waterproof, and they have these hollow hairs that help them hold warmth. So they're super warm. It can be like minus 40 degrees, and they're totally fine because their coat is waterproof and warm. And their coat is so awesome. We want their coats. Like, we want to make coats out of their coats. So, like, ermine were trapped heavily in the early days. Trappers would trap them so that they could take their coats and make coats out of their coats. But here's the problem. Getting an ermine was really difficult. Because if you tried to go out there and capture them, they get away from you. It's hard to trap an ermine. So here's how they did it. They're super smart. Here's how trappers did it. You can read about it. Instead of trying to go trap an ermine, what the trappers would do is they would go out and find where the ermine live. They would find a hole, they'd find their den, and they would go find the den. Okay, this is where a bunch of ermine live. So they would take like oil, and they would pour grease and nasty oil all around their hole. They would take trash. They would take human waste. They would take animal waste, and they would just put this filthy, nasty trash around the ermine's den. Then they would go and they would release their dogs. And the dogs would start running through the snow, looking for the ermine. And they would start chasing the ermine. And the ermine are just like going through the snow like a dolphin in water. And the dogs are like, the dogs are never going to catch the ermine. That wasn't the point. The point was to drive the ermine home. As the ermine went towards their den, when they got to the den and the ermine realized there was so much filth and defilement and trash and oil and all that stuff at their den, the ermines so valued their coat that rather than defiling their coat, they would turn and face the dogs. And that's how they would capture the ermine, because they knew the ermine valued their coat. Now let me tell you something. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your garments of sin and he gave you his garments of righteousness. The Bible says that we're to keep our garments unspotted from the world. We have to have some ermine determination to say, rather than let my mind be defiled, this clean mind that God has given me, rather than let this world defile it, why am I going to let social media just rot my mind? Why am I going to let this world corrupt the way I think? Why am I going to follow the way the world thinks? Why am I going to buy into its philosophy? Why would I take a mind so clean and so pure and so valuable that Jesus died for it? Why would I take that and defile it? Oh God, let me not depart from your commandments with my whole heart. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Now listen, you need to let purification happen and then determination. All right, let me give you the third thing very quickly. Number three, look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Did you see that? Thy word have I hid in my heart. So wait a minute. I've cleansed this way. I've had purification. Now, with my whole heart, I'm going to do this. I have determination. But now, I have to have fortification. Everybody say that with me. Fortification. What is fortification? What does it mean to fortify something? What's fortification? Anybody ever built a fort? Right? When I was growing up, we lived in Colorado, and my brothers were 10 and 7 years older than me. I would walk outside, and they would just start pelting me with snowballs. So I had to learn, if I was going to go outside, I had this big plastic sled. And when I would go outside in a snowstorm, I would go outside, I would get behind that sled, I would put it down on the ground, and I would push snow that way, and then I would push snow that way, and I would build a snow fort. And then I would take that sled, I would fill it up with snow, bring it in behind my walls, and then I was like Buddy the Elf, man. I'd make snowballs, and I would be like, and I had the snow fort. I had learned, I was smart to get a snow fort that my brothers couldn't hit me. And then I would take like rocks and put them in my snowballs, and then I would throw them, because I had to have an advantage, right? And so whatever it took. And so anyway, I had to have a snow fort to protect me. Now watch this. God cleanses the mind. You have to have it in your heart. I'm determined to keep it clean. Now watch this. But that's not enough. I need to build some walls in my life to fortify that decision. I need some protections. Well, let me give you four walls that are right here. And we're going to give these to you in about 30 seconds. Watch this. Number one, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. Okay. How do you put the right walls up? Wall number one is memorize. All right, everybody say that with me. It's wall number one is memorize. You say, oh man, I just can't memorize the Bible. Yes, you can. Like, you have levels on video games memorized. You have song lyrics memorized. If I gave you If I gave you $1,000 for every Bible verse you memorized, how many verses could you memorize? A lot. You know why? Because it's a value system. We will do what we value. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That word hid means actually to bury treasure. Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we memorize. Hey, listen, there's an app you can get called Verses. You can play games. You can do all kinds of things to help you start learning and memorizing verses. Get the word of God in your heart. Get a wall up of memorizing the word of God in your heart. Everybody say memorize. Number two, verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. All right, here's the second wall. Wall number one in my fort is memorize. Wall number two in my fort is personalize. Personalize. Teach me thy statutes. Lord, teach it to me. Lord, make the word of God personal in my life. Listen, you know what some of us do? We come to church and the preacher preaches out of it and we hear sermons and we think of the Bible as a theology book. The Bible is not a theology book, even though it has all the theology in it. The Bible is not a science book, even though it's got science in it. The Bible is not a history book, even though it's a history book. Let me tell you this. The Bible is God's love letter to you. This is how God speaks to you. It's a love letter. So when you open the Bible and say, Lord, make this personal to me. Help me to put this in my shoes. How does this Bible make me a better child to my parents? How does this Bible make me a better friend to my friends? How does this Bible make me a better Christian in this world? God, I want to personalize it. Teach it to me. So wall number one is memorize. Wall number two is? Wall number three, verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. With my lips I've declared all the judgments. So God, my mouth is speaking what your mouth is speaking. So here's what I'm doing. I've memorized your word. I'm personalizing your word. And now I'm verbalizing your word. Psh. Verbalize. Verbalize. Start telling other people what you're learning from the Bible. Listen. Hey, listen. You know what? The Bible says we can only speak the things that we have seen and heard. That's why when we get together in youth group, we start talking about this game, or we talk about this boy, or we talk about this thing, because that's what we've seen and we've heard. Right? What would happen if you had a group of friends where you started saying, hey, listen, I want to tell you what the Lord's been teaching me from the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that you have to, that's all the conversation you have to have, but you ought to get it into your vocabulary where you start talking about, start telling other people what you're learning. Listen to me very carefully. Some people hear me preach and they'll say, man, you quote a lot of scripture. You must have memorized a lot of scripture. Well, I've memorized a lot of scripture, but I will tell you this. Most of the Bible that I know is what I have talked about. The Bible is the only book, listen to this, don't miss what I'm going to tell you right here. The Bible is the only book that the more of it you give away, the more of it you keep. So the more you use it, the more you speak about it, the more you teach it to other people, the more you tell other people, the more of it you retain. So learn to talk about it. Get a little group together in your youth group where you just have a daily thing where, hey, what did you learn in your devotions today? So now I'm memorizing it, now I'm personalizing it, now I'm verbalizing it, and I'm talking about it. Number four, in the last wall, I love this one. Here's the last wall, verse number 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Isn't that interesting? At the beginning of this section, he said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? At the end of it, the young man is saying, Lord, I'm meditating in your word and I'm respecting your ways. I'm no longer walking my way, I'm walking his way. Okay, now what did he do? God, purification. He had determination, so he had fortification. He memorized. He personalized, he verbalized, and then I'm going to call it internalize. Internalize. What is that? Meditate on it. Meditate. Do you know what the word meditate means? It literally means in the Hebrew to hold in your mouth. So it means to mutter. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt mutter in it day and night. When you go to Israel, you see the old rabbis, they walk around. And you wonder, what are they doing? They're quoting the scripture. They're talking about the word of God. They're muttering it as they go about their day. People think of meditation like, you know, we gotta all sit here Hum. I'm going to empty my mind. Hum. I'm going to empty my mind. That's what we think of meditation. That the devil would love for you to empty your mind because then he would fill it. But that's not what meditation is. Watch this carefully. Meditation is not to empty. Meditation is to fill. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So he's meditating in it. The best picture of meditation that you can have in all the world. Here's the best picture of meditation. You know what it is? How many of you have ever driven by a pasture and you've seen a cow laying under a shade tree in the middle of the day, just laying there? Anybody ever seen a cow just laying there? If you look close at that cow, what's it doing? What's it doing? It's chewing, right? He's not up eating grass. He's laying under a tree. What's he chewing? He's chewing his what? His cud. What does that mean? Well, what that means is a cow gets up and he just eats. This cow's eating grass, eating grass, eating grass, eating grass. Cow has several stomachs down there and just filling its stomach up with grass. And once it gets a big full belly and it gets hot, cows go get in the shade and they lay down and they go. Oh, that's delicious and nutritious. I got that from over there by the oak tree. Oh, that's juicy. That came from the septic tank. I'm going to go back there tomorrow. So what's that cow doing? That cow's just chewing on what it ate through the day. Listen, this is what meditation of the Bible is. You're filling it up, filling it up, filling it up. Then you bring it up and you chew on it throughout the day. When you're driving down the road. Or while you're sitting thinking. You think about what you read about. And you meditate. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Now, I got to be done because we got to go to eat supper. But listen, if you'll learn, listen, if you'll go get, say, God, cleanse my mind, purification. And then, Lord, I'm going to be determined to keep this clean. So I'm going to build a fort in my mind, meditating, memorizing, verbalizing, personalizing. I'm going to meditate on this. And watch this. Before long, it becomes, it'll just become natural to you. When I was a teenager, I bought my first car. I bought a 1947 Plymouth Coupe. It's an old Plymouth, and I restored it, rebuilt the engine. And that car had a 1947, but it had a push-button start, and it had what they called three on the tree. It had a stick shift, but the stick shift was on the column. And so you had to hit the clutch. First gear was up here. You hit the clutch and go all the way down to second. Then you go up, back to third, and then all the way down on that way was reversed. But it was three-speed. So I just, whoom, whoom, whoom. Now, when I first started driving that thing, it was like, and I'd have to start it again. I remember one time I came up to a stop sign on a hill, and I had to stop. Well, if you've ever driven a clutch and you got to let the clutch out, you roll back. Remember, I got to that stop sign, and these people got behind me, and I'm like, come around. And so then, and I would roll back so far that by the time I got going again, I had to stop at the stop sign again. It was like a never-ending cycle, but I got better at it. But here's the thing. At first, man, I was like having a hard time with that. And I was embarrassed. But I'm going to tell you something. After I kept driving it, before long, I would be driving and never even thinking about it. It just became second nature to shift those gears. Listen, if you'll start getting it in your mind, at first, you have to really be intentional, keeping a clean mind, determined mind, thinking on God's Word, meditating on His Word, memorizing God's Word. After a while, it just becomes second nature, and it just becomes your mind. And you've cleansed that track. And now your track is God's track. And that's a great way to live. So the question is, who's going to play your mind? Who's going to play your thought life? What's the piano player that's going to be? You're going to have a chaos mind, or you're going to have a Christ-like mind? You get to choose what mind is in there. Father, thank you for the time today. Thank you for how well the young people have listened. Lord, in this day, this is such an important lesson of keeping our minds clean and pure before the Lord. Lord, I pray that these young people will really do business with you with purification of their mind. Lord, that they would get some old-fashioned ermine determination. I will not depart from the Lord's commandments. Oh, Lord, with my whole heart have I sought you. And then to prove it, we'll build those walls of your word in our minds to guard our minds. Lord, bless us. May it be a real thing to us. In Jesus' name, amen.